You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Of course, yeah, it's huge. I think from that first inning, getting some runs on the board, it's huge. It makes my job easier to go out there, and you can get ahead of guys a lot better, which is obviously what I'm trying to do. When the offense is doing that, it makes your job so much easier.
This is Joey Cantillo. After last night's start at Fenway Park in Boston, Guardians put up one run in the first inning for him, and then six runs in the second inning. So, Joey, welcome back from Columbus. You're pitching for the Guardians, and you're up 7-0. Go figure. They won it 8-1, three games back in the wild card. I'm Jeff Phelps, Menigan in for Baskin today. Andy will be joining us a little bit later on. Cantillo Dan has been really quietly successful this year. His ERA is 3.73. He was in the bullpen early. Remember, he was really good in the bullpen. And then they sent him down because they said, well, we want to stretch you out. Going to put you in the starting rotation. Came back, was pretty good in the starting rotation. And then what did they do? Well, we want you to throw more strikes, go back down. So he went back down, was pretty good. Came up last night and really pitched a nice baseball game. And Cantillo's the guy, Dano, can I call him the... Without the injuries, he's the George Valera of the pitching staff. We've heard about him forever. We've been waiting for him to get here. Came over in that Padre deal with Clevinger. Is this the year, Cantillo? No. Is this the year? No. Is this? Yes, this is the year. And I think he has shown that he's worthy of a spot on this team next year. He's going to have to go earn it, but I want him in the rotation next year.
He's a typical Guardian starter. He's not going to really light up the radar gun. Everything he throws moves. He's one of those guys who has, you know, with being 6'4", he comes closer to the plate than most guys when he releases the ball, giving them less time and making it seem like he's throwing harder than he is. And the Guardians get these guys, and they know how to develop them, and they know how to help get the best out of them with all of their breaking stuff and then with that fastball as well. And while it may not light up the radar gun, it gets swings and miss, and it gets guys to, you know, look silly at the dish. It just, for them, it works. It's one starter, four starter. Sure, sounds great. Get him up there. Let's go. I'm in. You can't. The guy gets guys out.
And if he has a strong finish to this season, and for a while anyway, they're going to go with six starters. He'll be one of them. He might even put himself in a little better spot than that. Here's what his manager had to say after Cantillo pitched last night.
Joe was outstanding. Obviously, got out there really efficient first. He got the lead, and he pitched like it, attacked, using all of his pitches. That was really good to see from Joey. Is exactly what we asked him to go work on, and he came in and executed. It was great.
Steven Vogt on Joey Cantillo last night. Cantillo threw 104 pitches. He gave up one run on five hits. had 7 Ks and he struck out only, or 7 Ks and he walked only 2. And that's critical because, as Stephen Vo said, that's exactly what they wanted him to do. So if you can go out there and have a start like that, you go 6. You know, that's the quality start in Major League Baseball today. 3 or fewer runs in last 6 innings. He gave up 1-6. Good for him. Good for the team. Cantillo, one more time on what happened last night.
Every game counts. Obviously, you see what this team's capable of. And it doesn't matter how, you know, a couple games went, or you know, a bad few days or a good few days. Like, just staying in it, this team can obviously go on big runs like we've seen. So just staying in it every day, taking it one day at a time.
One day at a time. It's a way to finish it up strong. Can't go any more cliche than that.
One day at a time.
But Daniel, I think he's done a really nice job. And if you look at this rotation, man, it's got potential written all over it. Not necessarily this year. I think they've been okay this year. There have been some really good moments. You know, Gavin Williams has looked great. Slade Ciccone has had some great moments. Maybe he's getting a little gassed.
I was just going to bring that up to you. You think he's running out of gas?
I think so.
I think so, too. This is the most he's pitched probably at any point in his career.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to happen. He's one of the guys you look at with the 6-man rotation.
Tanner Bibee's, Tanner's had a rough year, but I like Tanner Bibee. I'm still going to buy Tanner Bibee stock, and the Guardians signed him to a contract, so he's going to be here. The guy that I think needs to maybe finish strong for his sake is Logan Allen. You know, Logan's had a couple of rough starts in a row, and they've let him out, they've let him stay out there. But that last start against Seattle, you know, he had trouble early on and then settled in and did a really nice job. I might be higher on Logan Allen than a lot of folks. I think the guy can pitch. And I know he's a little cranky. I think that's what happened last year with him when he got sent down and everything. I don't mind that in a pitcher. He's confident. He goes out and attacks. And between Bibee, Williams, Allen, Ciccone, Cantillo, you've got some young guys there who I think are going to be a part of this, or could be a part of this, for a real long time. And Parker Messick, I like a lot. So right there are 6 guys. And keep in mind, they lost Luis Ortiz. They lost Ben Lively. Ben was supposed to be a starter for this team. So they have 6 starters up now, and they've lost 2. That's 8 guys that they had ready to go who were competitive in the major leagues.
Remember, again, we were looking at this farm system at one point and thinking to ourselves, boy, they need to go get some arms down here. Yeah. This is getting a little hairy.
Yeah, credit to the organization. They've had 8 guys go out this year and start, and I don't think any of them did a poor job.
No.
You know, unfortunately, Luis Ortiz isn't going to be back. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I got it.
So you've lost that one.
Yeah, I think you're losing Ortiz. You're losing Class A. Like, I just think that's just how this is going to end up. I got a feeling it's going to be after the World Series on a Friday at about 4:30. We're going to get a news drop that says those guys
are done forever.
Yep. I got a feeling that's what's going to happen. They're going to let the World Series completely play out. They'll let the parades get done. They'll let the trophy get handed over and then kind of go slip that in. Whoop. There it is. Okay, they're done. Okay, next. Hey, hot stove. Like, I got a feeling that's how this is going to go. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, a couple of years ago, well, gosh, last year we were looking at each other thinking, well, they got to get some starters. And they have. They once again, the Guardian pitching factory just continues to crank. They know how to get the best out of these guys. It's amazing how they're able to do it. And so, yeah, I'm going to continue to trust it until something happens with it that causes me to not trust it. And even then, it's going to have to really go off the rails, probably tip over and catch fire before I'm going to look at it and go, yeah, maybe you got to try change something you're doing, because it's been so successful for so many different guys. They will pitch to keep themselves in every single game, season, and playoff game in between there. It's the question we all have until the end, which is, can you get someone besides Jose Ramirez to help mend the gap so that you're not living life playing 1-0, 2-1, 3-1 games? And I hope they get an answer, because I don't have one either. I don't know. That's my whole thing with this, Jeff. I'm fascinated to see if maybe this offseason, if you want to look at the college guys that they looked at hitting-wise that seem to have more swing and miss than they have in the past.
And loaded up on these guys.
Maybe they make a move or two in the offseason that actually brings some people in. Maybe, I mean, goodness, Chris Rose joined us last week and brought up the great point that, hey, they maybe, or no, it was 2 weeks ago, and said they need to look inward at what they did in this offseason and realize that this cannot be what they do. Mm-mm. And go out and spend a little bit of money and bring in some outside help for this lineup.
You know, one thing that has really hurt this team this year, and we heard Anthony Allant talking about him earlier, they were counting on Lane Thomas just to be an everyday outfielder. I think they were counting on Lane to just be in center field, do the job, and you're good to go. And you're going to hit a little bit. He had the track record for hitting a little bit.
What?
And he's been dinged up and has not played, and it just, that's not worked. And Lane Thomas is a free agent at the end of the year. So, you know, are you going to try and invest money in Lane? I wouldn't.
No.
There's no way I'm going to give him the contract if I'm the Guardians. And no other team that has big money to spend is going to give him the contract because he didn't produce this year.
That guy hasn't been healthy his whole career, sadly.
Now, like, does he want to come in on a prove-it deal? All right, I'd take a look, but I'll be honest. If you start counting on Lane Thomas, and God bless him, a terrific guy, has some ability.
Oh, it's nothing personal.
No, but if you count on him, you're in trouble, and that's what the Guardians can't do. Last year, they were counting on him to come in and do some things. It didn't work. You were counting on John Kenzie Noel to build on what he did. It didn't work. You were counting on those guys, I think, to pick up the slack of trading Josh Naylor.
But
didn't work.
Okay. You're bringing this. I would love to sit Chris Antonetti down at some point.
Chris, sit down.
And have like a couple cocktails with him. And get him in a moment of comfort and ask him if that truly was the plan. And then look at him and go, you're relying on a dude who hasn't really been healthy his whole career in Lane Thomas.
Yeah.
Who hit, I mean, it has never hit more than I think it was like 15 home runs or something like that until one season. And you're going to look at that guy and say, I want him to be a power bat in this lineup.
Or at least a productive bat. But they were probably looking at him for power. You're right.
And Now, again, I'm slightly biased on that one. I was never a big Lane Thomas guy to begin with. I think he was the typical Guardians player in that he had great plate discipline, was fast, and could play multiple off-field positions. Like
when they made the trade, you weren't over the top.
Yeah, it's not a move I would have made. It is not a move I would have made. Now, a wonderful human being on top of it. And again, I'm talking purely on the field because anybody you talk to about Lane Thomas will tell you that he's truly just a delightful person.
Good people.
And so I just never understood it from the moment it happened. I never understood putting my eggs in that basket to begin with. And I never understood looking at guys like Jean-Kenzie Noel and down the line.
Jonathan Rodriguez
and Angel Martinez, who's popped and I think is a keeper. And thinking to myself, okay, if I platoon every single hitter in this lineup not named Jose Ramirez,
yeah,
it's all going to work out and it'll be fine.
It's been a really strange plan for the offense because you put Stephen Kwan in left, you put Jose Ramirez at third, and you've kept your fingers crossed everywhere else.
I'm as analytically minded as anybody. Like I keep an eye on a lot of the different metrics and all of that kind of stuff because I find them interesting and they help to back up what my eyes are telling me. If you're telling me you are running a platoon that is like involves Daniel Schneemann, who is league average at hitting the opposing handed pitcher, that's not a good platoon. The reason the Tyler Naquin, Jordan Luplo platoon worked is because when you put the two of them together, you had one of the five best right fielders in baseball.
Yeah.
That's the reason it worked. It doesn't work if you're going to be league average to sub-league average. That's what gets you in trouble.
And all that said, they're three games out, folks. A lot of teams to jump. But they're three games out of a wild card playoff spot. Guardians, I thank you. They're in Tampa tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. Another team that they've got a leap. So get ready for that. Ladies and gentlemen, the NFL returns tonight. The Dallas Cowboys in Philadelphia against the Eagles. What should you do? What should you do? Our Odyssey Sports betting insider, Nick Costos, joins us next. His return to 92.3 The Fan, straight ahead.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's really hard to listen to our show sometimes.
That was only part of it. It got very childish.
That was actually the nicest part of it.
I wasn't the childish person out of it. Power rank the childishness.
I'll admit it. I was very childish.
Oh, and my God, he admitted it.
I was.
He admitted it.
It was unbecoming of me as a professional
but
sports talk radio
host. If
we'd
like to power rank overall childishness on a daily basis.
Oh, no. Not a daily basis of the show. I meant then right there.
I didn't throw a stapler.
It was Lyman, it was me, then it was Owen.
Congratulations.
I only threw a stapler. I didn't throw it at anybody. It just happened to be somewhere around. Oh, again, guys.
We have to have National Stapler Day.
You guys got to understand.
With the cameras on, let's see who's really responsible for throwing the stapler.
We don't do this from a stapler.
If I would have thrown a stapler at Owen, I would have had a black eye. So there's no way I could have thrown any object
at
Owen.
What a terrible thing to happen on a National Throw a Stapler Day.
Let's bring in Matt Derry. He joins us right now. The Derry Brothers Guardians cast. He heard the knockdown dragout that happened at 6 a.m. this morning. You can hear that 92.3thefan.com, as well as on the free Odyssey app that people are checking out. And they go, oh, my goodness gracious, the boys are so angry. The Guardians are tearing the family apart. Hello, Matt.
No, you know, the power of social media, 92.3thefan on Instagram. I actually saw the video of Anthony telling you that it was bad luck.
Oh,
I missed the Owen brawl, but you know I'm a huge Owen on the board fan, but Anthony, come on, man. What are we doing here, sports boy? What are we doing? This team's not talented enough. It doesn't matter if it's luck, losing two guys. Yeah, the Class A thing hurts. Yeah, the Ortiz thing hurts, but Watch the last couple nights. They're not as good as Boston. Boston has more players. There's none of talent on this roster.
And that's with our run explosion of, 11 runs over the last 2 days.
How about that? I am very excited about Brian Rocchio. I think there's something there. I'm happy to see that he's bounced back and looks like the October Rocchio from last year. But I don't think it's bad luck. This is the organization that went out and traded a Platinum Glover to get Ortiz. And he obviously is not a character person and is letting his teammates down. Class A, remember, was suspended once before for cheating. So, like, there's a history there, too. So they kind of made their own luck in terms of the players that they picked. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the cheating thing, that's interesting. Matt Derry joined us because we didn't even bring that up. Neither of us had brought that up previously, that he had been suspended. I guess what I tend to think, and I didn't mean to make it seem like the whole season is just, well, poor Guardians. Like, they don't have a big margin for error. The reason they don't have a big margin for error, their payroll, we go over that to death. We're trying not to go over it at this point in time because this was such a bizarre situation. You have two players taken out to the point where people are speculating, is this a team-wide thing? Did the team know about it? What did they know and when did they know it?
Right,
like it was
right.
A grand conspiracy. And I want to say, fortunately, that hasn't been the case, but we don't know. We don't know anything.
No.
It's so weird that the guys are still suspended, but we can't say anything about it. The Guardians can't comment on it, but they lost their right to come back to the game. So as Ken says, it must be something very serious. But all I've seen are some videos that may indicate. And I'm like, all right, well, we did that with Malik Beasley. We did that with Terry Rozier. And so far, nothing's come up with them. In the NBA, you got Beasley. His people are saying the NBA told him the investigation's over, even though we have nothing official there. So all I was saying is that part of it seems to be bad luck. Any baseball team that loses their closer because of a gambling investigation, that would put a damper on their season and their ceiling. And to me, that would be considered bad luck.
Well, no, and there's no question that Cade Smith, Hunter Gaddis, some of the other starting pitchers, when they lose their buddy or they lose somebody that is in front of them in terms of in the rotation or in the bullpen, you know, you're asking a lot of Cade Smith. I don't blame Cade Smith for last night. I blame Stephen Vogt. I have no idea why he took Gaddis out of that game after 13 pitches to bring Cade in. I didn't like that. I didn't like that move. But regardless, Smith is not Class A. He's going to be good. He's very good. He had a great year last year. But yeah, it does hurt the team. You're not wrong about that. But I'm just saying, to say, oh, it's just been bad luck. I know you're. I hear what you're saying now, but the bottom line is they're just, we talk about it on the podcast all the time, they're just not good enough, and that sucks. It sucks because the division's a joke. The first-place team in this division, they're not that good either. Neither is the second-place team, and the fourth- and fifth-place teams aren't good. Like, this was so winnable after last year, but yet they did, what did they do in the offseason? Paul Sewald? Jacob Junis? Re-upping Hedges? Like, that's not good enough.
What's the Matt, my issue was, what's the next step? Because I'm more worried than I've been in the past. Like, they didn't make the postseason, Terry's last year. It's like, all right, you know, it might be a little bit wonky here, but we got some guys. And now I'm going, man, you know, I'm worried about the rotation. We've become accustomed to having top end pitching. I don't know if we have that right now. Bullpens. I mean, they come, they go. I'm never really worried one way or the other about it. I like what you just told me about Cade Smith's future. Does make me feel a little bit better. But then you get to the lineup, it's like, all right, well, I guess it's fine that Stephen Kwan's having himself a rough second half because it's his third in a row. That means he's more affordable to us now, but that's not an argument here. And it's all because of my guy who's 33 years old who took a massive discount for us, and that we're not going to get that again. We're not going to get that from anybody else, and I just don't want to feel like I've wasted any of his time here.
I think you bring up valid points, Ken. I don't think they know what's next. I think this ownership is just like a majority of those owners, and I've said this on your show before, that are not saying they're tanking, but they're waiting to see what happens at this time next year, where there's likely going to be a lockout. So even a team like Detroit, Detroit did after making the playoffs last year, added with Gleyber Torres and Jack Flaherty, but did they go for it and go get Bregman? No, Boston did. Boston went out and cut that big check. The Mets did with Juan Soto. The Yankees did by adding Max Fried and others. Most of these owners are just kind of sitting there. So to sit here and go, oh, man, you know, Guardians fans are upset. They want to see action this offseason. I think the Guardians are going to tell you things like Anthony said before about the bad luck. I think they're going to say, we got a lot of young players that played this year. We're the youngest roster in the league for the third year in a row. They're going to throw that crap at you. But they didn't win enough baseball games. And of all these young guys that are playing, who are the ones that you know for sure are going to be part of the team next year in the lineup? You don't know that. We don't know who the catcher is going to be. Do you know? Do we definitely know the shortstop, second baseman, center fielder, right fielder are going to be next year? No. We know it's Manzardo. We know it's Jose. You know it's Kwan. I think Rocchio is a piece. The rotation's going to be good. I'm happy about that. I like all the young arms. I like John Means coming up. I'm glad Cantillo's pitching. They've got some depth there, but they're the ones that have put out this awful offense for the last couple of years, and what are the answers? We still don't know. Oh, no, John Kenzie had a big night last night, so he's the future. He's been up and down from AAA for 3 years.
Well, it's, you know, Lyman mentioned, and my issue was, not even an issue, my whole point that they should have done is Lima thought something, he feels something big could happen this offseason. I don't. I feel it's batting down the hatches. I feel like next year is going to be a lot like this year until they get to the offseason of 2026 to 27 and they can figure out labor agreements and or lack thereof, television agreements or lack thereof, and then they can go ahead and move forward. If that means David Blitzer comes in, if that means David Blitzer stays as a minority owner, I think that's when you're going to get your movement. But I just don't think there's going to be a lot said this year. I think they should do some things for goodwill this winter, but I think it's going to end up ringing hollow in the grand scheme of things when it comes to actually going out and getting players.
Well, when Anthony says something big, you talk about like a free agent signing?
I think he's talking about movement within the front office.
No, I just don't know what they could possibly do after this season where it seems like the trust has been eroded to some extent with the organization. And I know we talked about, you know, Junior Caminero and how you know, who saw that coming, but that is their job. Ken's buddy was telling him, well, it's still their job. Their job is to not make mistakes like that. Like, what trust do people have today in the organization, and how do they get excited about a team going into next season that doesn't seem like they have an ace? We don't know if we have a closer, and we already know all the limitations in a lineup.
Let's just say Alex Bregman. I used him as an example before. Let's just say Alex Bregman opts out. And yes, he's a Boris guy, and he's got some weird, wonky contract with the Red Sox where he can opt out every year. So let's say he says, I'm cashing in. Maybe the Red Sox make a run in the postseason. He has a big postseason, and he says, I'm cashing in. I'm cashing out. I'm going to go be a free agent and hopefully cash back in somewhere else. He is a right-handed bat that would be so perfect for this lineup. Now, you probably have to go to Jose and go, hey, Jose, can you do me a favor? Can you move to second base or can you split time? Whatever it would be, because Bregman's a third baseman. Whatever maybe you ask Bregman to play second. I don't know. But that's like a right-handed bat that you've been dying to get. Now, I don't know if that would happen, but it would take money. We've heard the organization say, oh, we're threading the needle, or we really like some of these young guys. We don't want to block the young guys. How much longer do I have to watch Gabriel Arias play every day? Go get some guys. Like, make it. If you have to make a deal and deal from your strength, which has been your pitching, go do that. Make a move and go get somebody, but they're not going to. They're not going to. Not with this labor stuff that's coming and their bad TV deal they have. And it's not happening. So,
Matt, I said the only chance is, because I've seen it, two other instances. You tell me if I'm using dated material here. But the year that they sold, baseball gave every team money for BAM. They went and spent money. The year they sold Sports Time Ohio, they went and spent the money. If they get a TV deal somehow done, then do you think they would, for the third time, put that money back into the team?
I would hope so. Yes, I would. Look, I don't know Paul Dolan's situation. I know there was a lot of reports about, well, now that his dad has passed away, maybe he's going to move the goalpost a little bit, hand it over to the new guy sooner because he wanted to win one for his father. And that's, you know, that was nice. But who knows? He doesn't talk. They don't talk. They are so secretive about everything. Is Arias day-to-day IL? Guys get hurt and they say nothing. There's very little transparency with that organization. And it's too bad because all they've really done is win. I mean, no, there's no bigger fan of the team than me, but they're not very transparent. I mean, what's the plan? I don't know. I just know there's a lot of young guys on the team, and you hope that next year a few of them blossom and go from their 24 year to their 25 age year and really hit, because you can't finish second to last in OPS and expect to be in the postseason. So it's a miracle. They're only a game under 500 with that run differential. It's a miracle.
Matt, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. All the very best to you and yours and having a civil discussion with us about this.
Anytime, guys. Ken, keep up the great work on Fox 8 as well.
Thank you. I do appreciate it.
Anthony, are you calling football games?
Did I call a historic game or what on Saturday? Thank you very much. Team ending a 21-game losing streak.
I need highlights, please. Put it on
Roger Brown over here.
And that should
Roger Brown.
Do it.
Oh, my God.
First down, Kent State. And history here at Dick Stadium because not since September 16th, 2023, the Flashes will get one in the win column.
Yes.
Audio courtesy of ESPN and Anthony Lime of the Sports Batone. Matt, thank you.
Peace.
Matt Derry. Derry Brothers Guardians cast. Oh, that was civil.
That almost was nice. Too nice.
Yeah,
by
it was
the
almost
way,
too nice.
That serves you right. Merrimack, you think you're coming to fabled Dick Stadium and you're going to just easily, summarily dismiss Kent State?
I don't think they thought
State.
That. I don't think
get
they thought that
here,
at all.
Merrimack.
I watched that game. I thought they played tough.
Merrimack brings it out. And he has a burst. Huge return. Still on his feet. To the house. Touchdown. The realist Clark.
I showed you what that he is, the realist.
That's his name?
Yeah, the realist Clark on the all-name team.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
So, Dano, I watch a lot of baseball, Dan. You watch a lot of baseball. We can look at the Cleveland Guardians and know, yeah, this is a real mediocre team. We know that. Do we not? We know this is a real mediocre baseball team because we watch a lot of baseball.
Yeah, that's a word. I mean,
there's 69 and 69, for God's sake. That'd be about as mediocre as you can get.
Well, thank God you watch a lot of baseball to figure that one out.
Thank you very much. And we know they can't hit. Okay? We know that. They can't hit. And do they hit occasionally? Sure. Does that make you mad and think, well, why can't you do that more often? Sure.
Often.
Just do it, right? Do it more frequently, please. And their pitching isn't what it used to be. Their starting rotation, I like it. But it's young. And as we've heard numerous times, so many of these guys are at their threshold of career highs in innings pitched. And by golly, we're going to throw another starter in just because of it. So what does that do for the rest of the rotation? Gives everybody an extra day's rest and maybe protects their arms and makes their arms not tired. That's the idea here. Does it save them innings over the course of the season? Maybe one start each guy. That's about it the rest of the way. But what it does is give them an extra day's rest. So all of that talk about that we just threw out that, yeah, okay, not anything to get overly excited about, blah, 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 blah. They're still only three games out of a playoff spot. And it takes one hot streak, one, for this team to put itself right into the conversation for that third and final wild card playoff spot. And I don't care that there are three teams to hop, Texas, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay. They're three games out, Dan.
Hmm?
You can make up three games in a weekend. And that's why, by gosh, this has just been so much fun.
It's what you want. As a fan of baseball, this is exactly what you want. I want to, after 120-something games, I want to be in a position where I'm looking down the stretch of September, and yes, would all of us prefer if the Guardians had a 10-game lead in the Central and we could just kind of do the heavy yawn and three-quarters pay attention? Yeah, sure. You know, we all love when Hammy decides to do stand-up in the third inning instead of actually call the game. Like, it's great. It makes me laugh. Yeah, I love it every time.
I know it
you
does.
Know why? Because you're 10 games up, but who cares? That's not where we are. This is meaningful September baseball.
It really is.
This is down the stretch. You are locked into every single pitch, every single game, and you're not only watching you, but you're flipping over and watching the Mariners, and you're flipping over and watching the Rangers, and then you're keeping an eye on the Yankees Astros series that was going on. It's been some really fun baseball. Like, you have an eye on all of these different things on top of it because there's so many moving parts. And you're right. We have ridden the roller coaster with this team all season. And by God, it's been peaks and valleys.
And we know this team's not very good.
But what's to stop another peak from coming?
Exactly.
September 4th.
Exactly.
What's to stop another peak from carrying you for 3 weeks?
It's
nothing.
That's exactly right. They've left themselves in a position here where it's still possible. Is it likely? No, it's not. We know it's not likely. But one hot streak, Dan, and they've not played very well lately, and they're still only three back. Why? Because the Mariners also haven't played very well lately, and they're still hanging. Now, other teams have passed up the Guardians a little bit. It's so unlikely that they hop three teams and Seattle, so they've got to actually beat out four teams ahead of them. That's unlikely. But this team is streaky. And if this team can get some starting pitching, maybe that extra day's rest helps all of these guys be a little bit sharper. I mean, Joey Cantillo, he was nails last night.
Well, but I think what
he was great.
It also puts them in a spot like you saw with Cantillo where he threw over 100 pitches. I think it was like 106 or something like that. You have that because you have that extra day's rest that you feel a little bit more comfortable going, all right, let's try to get another inning out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do what we can to avoid the underbelly of that bullpen. Oh, this, I don't mean this personally. I don't want to watch Matt Festa pitch anymore.
Yeah, I've seen enough. And he's done his best and been okay.
That guy should be sponsored by Rolaids.
But I know. And
like there are guys, and we're not used to that here. We're not used to being in a spot where there are relievers that you're pointing to going, I don't want to see him anymore. Like, what this extra day does is it makes it so that you could push Gavin Williams a little bit farther if he's throwing well enough.
Because he's going to get an extra day to come back and heal up.
Exactly. so you can avoid the underbelly of the bullpen. You could focus in on getting the Hunter Gaddis, Cade Smith, Tim Herron, the guys that you want out there because they can get out and are good at it.
The funny thing to me, you know, for instance, George Valera last night, George got his first major league hit. I really wanted to see George Valera, but Dan, I wanted to see him 2 years ago, you know?
Patience is a virtue.
Well, as a Guardians fan, that's what you have to have. Their answer to help the offense was to bring up a guy who's been injured like crazy for the last couple of years, who was once considered a really high prospect in the organization and a pretty good prospect in Major League Baseball, then has injuries. That's how you're going to help the offense, by bringing up this guy. Well, by golly, he got a hit last night. Did a nice post-game interview. I was thrilled for the guy. Good for him. And guess what? Maybe he finds it. Maybe it's been there the whole time, and this guy now is getting a chance, and he puts himself in the conversation for next year for a real job. It's just, this team just keeps plodding along and not getting eliminated. Folks, has it surprised you? I can't tell you that it surprised me, because this organization finds ways to put competitive teams on the field. 216-474-0092, the number to join us.
It has surprised me in that.
It has?
Yeah. This season has surprised me.
Because of why? Because the offense is so... Ugh.
If you would have told me in the beginning of the season, hey, Carlos Santana is going to be 40, and he's going to look 40, and the metronome is going to stop.
And you traded a 100 RBI guy to get him. Well, basically.
Yeah, I figured, you know, I was looking at it from like March 31st, mm-hmm. March 30th, when the season itself started.
Sure.
You know, if you would have told me that was the case, if you would have told me Kyle Manzardo would look crummy in the first half, if you would have told me they are trying to shoehorn David Fry down our throats, I would have looked at you and said, playoff spot? Are you serious?
Yeah.
If you would have told me Tanner Bibee would be league average, again, I'd be like, playoff spot? Are you serious? Like, what is... Did the entire AL Central get hurt? Like, that's what I would have thought throughout the entire thing. And that's not the case. They're just putting it together at the times that they need to put it together. And on your George Valera case, I get it, because you're past the waiver deadline. So it's not like there's any other move they can make. Like, is there somebody else you would have rather seen?
No, but the point of it is, their answer to try and help the offense is a guy who hasn't played much in 2 years and didn't actually hit that well this year in the minors. However, the guy was a highly thought of prospect, and sometimes things get in the way of that, like injuries and like a lack of time to come back and put together a good season, which George really didn't in the minors. But hey, he comes up and well, let's see what he has. You know, think to back up your point a little bit more, Dan, what if I had told you that there were really two guys on this year, this year, who were going to have a good offensive season? And Stephen Kwan's not one of them. Stephen's been okay. I don't think anybody can say Stephen Kwan has been anything more than okay this year. He's hitting .274. His OPS is below league average, correct? 712.
720 is league average.
Right, and he's below league average.
Button one, man,
that's
zero.
That's okay. Kyle Manzardo's had a good year. Kyle's taken a step. Good for Kyle, which screams, well, then why'd you bring Carlos Santana in the first place?
I think because you've also watched Kyle Manzardo play first base.
Yes, I have. I get that.
It's kind of like watching.
Yeah, I know.
You know, have you seen video? And I'll bring this back, I swear. It's kind of like watching. Have you seen video of the baby giraffe at the zoo try to run? That's kind of what I feel like watching Kyle Manzardo play first base.
It's kind of cheap. Kind of like it, but it's kind of cheap.
It's kind of like watching a guy who's like, I don't totally know where to go with my feet. Where do my feet go? Okay, I got to bet. All right. But Dan, it's getting better, though. It is getting better, much like the baby giraffe running.
Okay. Well, let me throw this one at you. You ready? He's had 100 fewer at-bats than Jose Ramirez. Few more than 100, actually, but 109. And yet he has only two fewer home runs and only nine fewer runs batted in. You could make the argument that Kyle Manzardo has been the best offensive player on this team this year because Jose has not had a very good August and September. I know that's preposterous, except for one thing. In 100 more at-bats, Jose has only 2 more home runs and only 9 more runs batted in. Let me give you an argument for that, though. Kyle Manzardo has had Jose Ramirez on base in front of him. Jose has had the treacherous bottom of the lineup in front of him for a good portion of the season.
Yeah, I'm
just saying.
That's erroneous.
100 more at bats.
To use the 10-cent word.
I'm not knocking Jose here. What I'm saying is Kyle Manzardo is probably having a better season than everybody realizes.
Oh, he's been great.
He's been terrific.
There's a reason why we've been slamming the table and saying, hi, no one hits the ball for power on this team. This guy does. He should do it more often. Maybe you should give him those opportunities.
And now they are.
And especially in the second half of the season.
And now they are.
It's looked so much better after the second half. I don't know what changed. I don't know what he did, but good golly, it's great to see.
And I think you just pencil him in for next season. We're not yet worried about next season. We're worried about this season. And worried, I don't know if that's the right word. What is the right word? They're only 3 games out, folks. 3 games out of a playoff spot. Is it likely they get it? No. But they're only 3 games out. Somebody stepped up and did the job last night. We'll hear from him coming up next here on Baskin and Phelps.
Audio courtesy Guardians TV. I feel worse about this than I have in other years.
He's got to get back in the weight room, Kenny.
Is that what he just said?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
I didn't hear him say the weight room thing.
Pumping the iron.
Come on, Tommy, scram. Don't give her the weight room thing.
Just a bunch of kids out there kind of learning the sport.
So season's over, right?
Yeah,
it feels like. We cling. 17 games left. How many games back are they? I didn't see the end of the Rays game.
There's still 4 out of the wild.
There's still 4? Only 4?
That's what sucks.
Is everybody else is losing right now.
Well.
Royals are losing. Mariners are losing. Tigers are losing.
Well, Guardians now I don't want to say it's over yet. Do I? Or am I just denying the, I don't know, Cade Smith.
I'm not saying it, but yeah, it's denying the inevitable.
But does he have a parlay that we can find somewhere?
It seems like you don't have a closer, and now
you don't have a setup, man.
Yeah, and now even the rotation is not as fine-tuned as you thought going. You don't have an ace.
There's nobody in the middle.
Yeah, this team has nothing. Just like
Austin Hedges hit a home run last night.
You do have that. Could be a power surge. Remember we thought Nolan Jones mini power surge?
Yeah. Little power surge. A little bit.
No, it feels like it's over.
What do you think, Owen? Come on, man.
Yeah, let's delay the inevitable.
Why not? 17 games left. Crazier things have happened.
Got one more weekend at the ballpark. I'm going to go.
See, Owen's in. Oh, God. You sound like you're going through the motions.
Yeah, I'm in to go.
All right, fine.
Drink beers amongst other people that are mourning.
Fine. That's it. If Owen's out, I'm out. It's that simple.
I'll still be there.
You're going, but you're out on the season.
I'll still be there.
Oh, that's going through the motions.
Oh, come on, man.
That's a bad marriage. That's I'm just still going to be there. It's bad. I'll be there for the kids.
I'll be the show's bad marriage expert.
Yeah, I mean, even when
I don't know. Those marriages you had in the Pacific Rim, I think those were good marriages.
Fun,
yeah.
Good week-long marriages.
Those were successful marriages.
Even when they played their best baseball of the year, it just didn't seem like they were special. It didn't seem like at any point they had special in them, right? No. So we were like, all right, maybe there was a time where I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to make the playoffs now. Like, we were all sitting here going, yeah, they're probably going to make the playoffs now. And then it went south again.
Well, you know, the problem
and then
is,
you're like, what could you even count on?
I think my biggest issue is that I just have way more questions than I've ever had when they haven't made the postseason. And I think I put those questions to you a couple of weeks ago, and those questions still haven't been answered. I assume that Emmanuel Clase may be done forever, and maybe the same thing with Luis Ortiz. And Luis Ortiz had a couple of good outings, I know, and had some times where I think he flirted with with being a really good pitcher for you. And he was still a young guy, 25 years old. Now that's gone out the window, so there's no point of bringing him up anymore, it seems. Emmanuel Clase, again, there's no point of bringing him up anymore, it seems. The guy that a lot of people thought was the heir apparent in Cade Smith, he's completely fallen off the rail. So I don't have a closer right now. What do you think of your bullpen? Okay, that gives me my answer right there. The pause about the bullpen. So we're just thinking about it. There's no what rhyme or reason.
I mean, just think about it. Last year, if you compare this team to last year across the board, what does it do better than last year?
Nothing.
They're definitely worse on defense.
Yes.
There was nothing they could do to have the bullpen that they had last year. The bullpen was unstoppable and perfect. And then when you lost Class A, then
rotation's not as good. Yeah.
Just the biggest difference between this year and last year is consistency. They have flashes this year. They at least had some sort of consistency. You could depend on them to play a certain style of game last year. There wasn't too many blowouts.
No.
There wasn't a giving up 11 runs or giving up four in the eighth or whatever it was, felt five
like there,
in the eighth.
There wasn't like going 25 innings or whatever it was without scoring a run or whatever ungodly amount it was at one point. Yeah. Like there wasn't that. So the only thing consistent has been the inconsistency of not being able to hit, not being able to get to string along good outings. Again, you had a good month of Slade Ciccone followed up by a bad month of Slade Ciccone. Like there was nothing. And so that's what makes me like really concerned here. Is your bullpens come and they go. So maybe next year your bullpen will be better. I can't necessarily predict bullpen. Starting rotation, I'm very concerned about. I'm very concerned about the starting rotation. We've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle here as Guardians fans, which sounds like now I'm asking for alimony. We've become accustomed to having a good young pitcher who looks like he's going to be a Cy Young winner at some point or somebody that we can get excited for at some point. We become accustomed to. Well, again, if you're not going to develop the hitting, then you better develop something. And they've always been able to develop it. So I wouldn't call Guardians fans spoiled. Like other organizations, other fan bases, they do have boppers. We don't have boppers, and it's gotten to the point where I don't expect it. But I do expect top end pitching for this baseball team for them to be a competitive club. And if I don't have top end pitching, then I have to look at everybody else and go, "What are you doing here?" You know, you and I actually got yelled at by a Guardians insider because you and I gave him a pass for Junior Caminero last week. Remember, I was like, I don't want to make a big deal about Junior Caminero. Can you really predict these things? Can you really see these things that he's going to go out and hit near 40 home runs? And I'm not going to say who, but I basically got shouted down by a Guardians insider. Like, I was like, whoa, easy, calm down. I see your point where he's like, I'm sorry, Ken, is that not their jobs? I mean, they traded him for another guy that never pitched for him. So it wasn't like they traded him. And they made a good point. I got no problem admitting that I'm wrong. Because when it came to Caminero, and I know I'm going off the beaten track here, but I've been waiting to tell you this. I wish I could tell you guys exactly who, because I think you guys would go, whoa, I know. But the guy looks at me and goes, that's their jobs. Their jobs are to do that. They didn't trade him for a guy for a stretch run, for a postseason run.
Yeah,
they traded him for another minor leaguer. The minor leaguer didn't make it, Ken.
Yeah, baseball.
And then he goes out and he hits 40 home runs. They have how many people in player development? Because this was the argument. And I was dumbfounded. I said, you're right.
Look what they traded him for. I mean,
they traded him for a pitcher that never pitched for him.
Yeah. It's just, I kind of laugh at that analysis because Major League Baseball, above all the sports, has the most egregious misses you could ever have because there's no way. There's such a fluky element to such a high percentage of whether guys turn into something. And the reality is the Guardians have been one of the higher, I think you'd have to say, like, and this is why they've been the model for all of the poor teams, right? I heard down in Miami, they were talking about the Marlins. The Marlins were like, man, if we could only be the Rays or the Guardians in our player, in a lot of our trades, right? Because the Guardians have just smashed so many trades out of the park that I'm okay giving, especially one where not one person in the city questioned losing Junior Caminero at the time. There was not one person. So your buddy can say, yes, they missed it. It's an all-time egregious miss. And I'd say, yeah, I would imagine every GM in baseball has like five of those, you know, per 10 years, that if they even are fortunate enough to have a job for 10 years.
But when you don't cultivate power And when you can't afford those misses, it makes it that much more glaring. I mean, if you put Junior Caminero in this order, how much more of a help would it be? I don't know if they'd be a playoff team. For the love of God, they are four games back of the wild card. So there's a lot of room they got to make up, and the Rays had, what, the same record as we did at one point last week. So, I mean, I could see it one way or the other, but at least I would, like, I would feel a lot better if I went, okay, I got home runs sitting for my, my team with that guy. It would just be a conversation whether or not you got to pay the
guy. I agree. I wish the Guardians were 100% accurate and soothsayers.
Yeah, but they're...
It's impossible to be that in
this sport. Their margin for error is that much smaller.
They have no margin. No, that's reality. Like,
okay,
if you would have told me before the season, even if we would have spent $20 million more in payroll, if you would have told me our closer gets taken away and a starter gets taken away on a gambling, an unfortunate gambling investigation, I'd say,
well, it's not unfortunate. Don't be gambling.
I'd say, sure. I don't know if he was. I don't know what even. I still don't know. We're just speculating at this point.
I mean, it's arguable that he's still never going to be around again. So
if you would have told me that before the season and we spent $20 million on a couple of players in the lineup, I'd say, oh, that's probably a team that's not going to win the World Series. Like, you can't afford to have that. They got no margin for error to begin with.
Yeah, I get that what sucks. You're saying, but, you know, they got to be held. Like, I could always turn right around and go, hey, man, you lose two second-round picks. That really sucks to be you. But at the end of the day, your feet are going to be held to the fire if you're the Cleveland Browns. So I have to look at a team that I hold to a much higher standard as far as, you know, when we make these comparisons, people roll their eyes. I go, no, I expect more from the Guardians. I expect better from the Guardians. I can trust the Guardians to be a responsible organization. And
but I'll say the same thing going into next year. Like, tell me who my closer is, and if they get investigated because of a gambling situation, I'd be like, oh, that sucks. They're probably not going to win the World Series.
But again, the point is
I'd probably say that for most teams in Major League Baseball.
When you pour that much into player development and you miss on a guy, it's that much glaring of a problem. So I have to put it as a knock on the Guardians where, yeah, I guess it is their job. I guess I was wrong that it is their job to figure that out with that guy. And so that leads me to more questions. I think I have some power there with Kyle Manzardo, but again, I don't want to overhype and then all of a sudden it's just another Nolan Jones situation. Stephen Kwan, how many people want to pay Stephen Kwan right now in the room?
What do you mean? You mean like don't want him on the Guardians anymore?
We would pay him a reasonable salary.
I wanted to pay him, not what you still were talking about 2 months ago.
Well, yeah, but that's now more realistic. So if he wants to accept $20 million a year.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to pay him.
Please, hand him the pen.
That's
fine.
All we need all our good guys to do is have bad stretches so we can afford them.
I mean, simply that, is it not? That's a reason to come welcome and watch the team.
Who else can we have play poorly? I can't believe I'm saying it to you. Welcome to being a Guardians fan. I thought you did it longer than I did.
Who else can we have play poorly enough so that we can actually afford to keep him?
He started earlier than you. I don't know if he's done it longer than you. That's the difference.
What? Did what?
Just being a Guardians fan or a Cleveland baseball fan.
Oh, and you win. You're the biggest Guardians fan in the room. Let's move on to the next topic. Who's the best Cavs fan in the room?
That's not what we're doing.
Survey says.
That's not how it started.
Any college hoops fans left? I used to be a big college hoops fan. UFC time. Who's in the octagon?
Listen to me.
Who's the best Ultimate Fighting fan there is?
You win, Owen. Congrats,
Owen. You win.
It's just that's amazing. Not what I said at all.
You get to spend more of your time at the ballpark
like Ken and
than
not
I
listening
do.
To half the sentence, and then
so
you're
I don't
going,
know your point.
Let me
I don't
do
know
my
why,
stupid
I don't know
thing.
Why, I don't know why
I'm catching anything
is.
Over here. The argument
you're always
going to
catch something.
Is the football guy in the room the biggest Browns fan today?
No.
Oh,
biggest Browns fan today?
Yeah.
As far as
I don't know. I thought we were taking stock of who the biggest fan was.
Most childish self-defense I've heard all day.
Who's next? Buckeyes? I get to be the biggest Buckeye fan, right?
Well, I think we always assumed you're the biggest Buckeye fan.
Told you.
Do the childish thing.
Anybody else at the station? Who's in the running?
Well, listen how defensive you are.
Let's power rank the biggest fans of every team.
Anthony Antonetti over here. He just has an answer for everything. I mean, you should be part of the golf shirt army or whatever they're called.
Mafia.
The golf shirt mafia.
You'd know that if you're a bigger fan.
Well, that's true.
Come on, Kenny.
Yeah. Call the Dairy Brothers. I mean, I think might be one of them might want to go toe-to-toe with you. Because it seems like you got an excuse right after another for everything that's going wrong here.
No, I just think it's pretty obvious that when you get your closer taken away and you get one of your starters who actually
I mean,
you
for
have,
the love
you have
of
a lot
God.
Of promise. I just don't know how you call that anything other than bad luck. I just don't know.
So the whole season chalked up the bad luck?
No, I'm just saying that was another factor.
Whole season.
That was another factor that doomed them. They already had.
So anything that bad happens to the Browns, it's luck.
They already had, as we know, they started the season. What did we do? What did we do the first month of the year? We said, the Lane Thomas situation, the Fry situation, like that was working against them. This team has no margin for error. We know that. Right. They're never going to be able to withstand any kind of adversity when it comes to injuries or gambling investigations. That's probably not going to help their situation.
Yeah. Said Tillman, it's not like he's not good. It's just it's bad luck.
Like, what do you think? How many
David
games?
David Bell, it's not that he's made of glass. It's just it's bad luck.
Like, you've made a case that the Browns, with if Flacco and everything goes well and the offensive line holds up. And
which would take a lot of luck.
Right. But if everything goes their way, how many wins?
If with everything goes their way?
Great defense.
Eight.
And what if Flacco's investigated in a gambling sting?
I tell you what, I'd be pretty surprised.
Might be a win-win.
I'd be pretty surprised.
Is that good luck or bad luck?
So Emmanuel Clase
should
is
the Browns have accounted for that?
Emmanuel Clase.
I want to hear this. Yeah, again, take
so
some
wait
time.
A minute.
I think you need to take some time.
I don't need to take any time.
I think you realize how dumb what you said was earlier, and you need to take some time.
First off, don't.
So
no.
Why don't you tell me when we come back from the break?
I want you to figure out whether that's good luck or bad luck. Okay,
you can talk over me. I think you need more time.
No. This is where it goes way over break, and then
you said something stupid yesterday, and I think you're going to say it's stupid again.
What's stupid here? Why are you calling me stupid?
It's a stupid thing
because you're going to railroad everybody, and you don't want to pay attention to everything. So let me get you straight on this.
The rest of the
guy that most of the audience wanted to replace with Cade Smith before the gambling investigation. That's what the entire season hinged on. And I'm the stupid one on the radio here. I'm the dumb one on the radio right now. I'm the dumb one out of that.
You've given yourself enough rope.
It's all on Emmanuel Clase because he got in trouble for gambling, allegedly. So that's why the Guardians get a free pass on the season, according to Anthony. That's the argument you just made over the last 5 minutes, yelling over Owen and yelling over me.
That was not my argument.
Okay.
So now not only
are
you stupid, your ears don't work.
Is that what you heard over there?
So we've got to get something here, right, Ken?
I mean, you can call. Hey, if you want to sit there and name call all day long, that's perfectly fine. It doesn't make you right. But that's perfectly fine. You can do lowest common denominator stuff. That's okay.
I still am waiting for how the Guardians were supposed to account for having
that's how
their
we
closer
win arguments now.
Rip from them, and you acted like it
that's
was
how,
their fault. And you're like,
that's
well, just
how we
don't
win
gamble.
Arguments.
Just don't gamble. Okay.
That's how we win
well,
arguments.
That should
now.
Be their motto next year. Just don't gamble.
That's how, if I believe Lima's wrong now, I'm just going to call him stupid. You big stupid head.
Calvin
you're
Ridley.
Stupid.
Just don't gamble.
You're
just
stupid.
Don't be caught up in a gambling
you're
investigation.
Yeah, it's not that hard to not break the law or break the rules of what
I
your team is.
I don't know what he did. It's not that hard. I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me.
I've got thousands of other guys that are not being investigated for gambling.
I've got one pitch that people showed me video of.
Thousands of baseball players not being investigated for gambling.
I've got one video.
There's so many.
Ken said he gambled. I don't know. Did he gamble?
I argued if he gambled, it seems it looked like,
now it's an if.
So they don't
before,
just suspend you for no reason.
Before you jump to the conclusion, now
you on an exemplar for no
if.
Reason.
That's the new slogan of the Guardians. What if he didn't gamble?
All right, hey, how about this? If he pitches for the Guardians next year, I owe you a Coke.
That was funny. Oh, just one?
2 second trivia.
Now we're gambling on whether he gambled
7:45.
Great.
See, this show has a problem.
Ken Carmen, Tone Master General on the Fan.
Another bad performance by Cade Smith, and I've seen plenty of people on social media just asking the very real question, is closing just beyond Cade Smith?
Yeah, it's such an odd thing because it just seems like it is. It seems like he's a really good setup man. He's a good eighth inning guy, and for whatever reason, he just can't handle the bright lights of closing a game.
So what's weird about it to me is, like, I don't even consider setup men to be, like, closer adjacent. The way that I used to, like, I think the second toughest job out of the bullpen isn't closing. No. I think it's the high leverage role.
That is the fireman role.
I think it's the Andrew Miller role.
That's the fireman role.
Okay. Well, now that we know that, so it's the fireman role.
Sorry.
I think that's such, and I think it's even tougher because you could pitch a third of an inning, you could pitch two innings. And it's just weird to watch Cade Smith in much higher leverage moments than a fair amount of these blown saves or losses or, the guy that hands the loss to another reliever have been. I think he's been better in the higher leverage moments than even closing.
I wish we could find out why Vogt is just hell-bent on putting him out there for that last batter in the eighth inning to then try to set him up for the ninth inning. I don't know why he does this. I'm sure he just thinks that I mean, there's got to be something to it.
He's done this with Class A, too.
No, he has.
I think has driven you crazy, too.
At the rate that we've seen it, while also then seeing Smith not be successful doing it, is the part that I just find interesting. I'm sure there's a rational, good reason. And listen, I'm never against the idea that you're short on arms in the bullpen right now. The bullpen is not nearly as good as it was. You think the world of Cade Smith, so as many batters as he can face, probably a good thing to end up doing. But it's odd because I've seen this now multiple times. Final out of the eighth inning, and then it either struggles or he struggles to even complete the eighth inning. And it just feels different. I don't know. I'm not sure I've seen this recently, at least from Vogt, to the degree that he's doing it.
I mean, his ERA at one point was down to 2.62. And then it is bumped back up in five appearances, to being 3.41. Like, that is a huge spike for a reliever that has thrown a butt ton of games. Now, what I do want to point out here, though, is up until, I want to say it was the 18th, so mm-hmm. the Arizona series.
Yeah.
He had quietly been really good in place of Emmanuel Class A.
Yeah.
So much so that fans were saying, Emmanuel who? And so there's a part of me that just naturally pushes back, and it's been like he's had four really unfortunate appearances in his last seven games. I personally am not ready to write him off just because who the hell else is walking through that door the rest of this season that he can't prove to you he can do this?
That's it. So for this season, you're just kind of stuck with it, and it is what it is. But this is to steal a Browns term and what they're trying to do, this is a fact-finding mission. You were trying to figure out if he could be the closer next year or if he's just going to be a setup man and that's all you can rely on him with. You know this with bullpens, though, Nick. It's so scary because these guys have it and then they just don't. And for a lot of these guys, they never get it back.
So I think with Cade Smith, I'm willing to give him more than just this trial run. And again, if he mm-hmm. looks really bad, if we're talking John Rocker implosion in September, well, I will change my tune at some point. But there's a part of me that I still don't have.
He turns into a racist and a bigot? What happened?
Just don't interview him with Sports Illustrated and you'll be fine.
Get him away from those subways.
Not going to continue going where I wanted to go with that. But there's a part of me that the last seven games have been atrocious. I don't know that I need there's a part of me that thinks the Guardian should go, well, we completely changed his role halfway into the season, and it wasn't because he had earned it. It was because Emmanuel Class A got suspended for a full season. He's not been sure the entire time whether he's going to have the job the rest of the season or not. I think you almost have to be okay with throwing him out there again as a closer next year if Class A isn't back, which I think we all assume he isn't going to be, just because it's like in the same way that, okay, maybe his time is up, he's not as good. Yeah, some closers have. I mean, I remember
Wagner.
Toronto and Oakland, stupid little soul patch. Billy, it's a K last name. Why? It's not Coke. Billy Koch.
Okay.
Billy had like two or three years where he was just elite, then went through a 2 or 3 year period where he wasn't good, and then he went back to being elite. I think this is pretty common for even elite end of the bullpen guys.
Well, and you can see stretches. The problem with this is that this has gone a little bit too far. Like Mariano Rivera used to have a week every single season where he just looked like he was lost, didn't have it. And you can go look up his baseball reference page too. And there's like 1 week every single year where Yankees fans would freak out over Mariano Rivera. The problem is that Cade Smith has now bled this we're going on 3 weeks of this. And this is a real opportunity that he was given. And it just doesn't seem like he's holding on to it.
The only pushback I would go is he had put three really nice performances together before last night. Like, that's where when I say 4 of 7, he had three awful appearances right in a row, then he was three damn near lights out, and then last night happened, and I think people have just the newness of this, the freshness of this is in their mind. It was like, it looked like he was in the right trajectory. Going into last night, I didn't think he was going to blow the game because he had been so good in the last two Tampa Bay games and the one Seattle game he pitched.
Yeah, I had that Friday night in my head a couple Friday nights ago. That one's still sticking with me in many ways. My confidence in him has been damaged when he comes into a game, and this is how I can typically tell where I'm feeling with a certain closer, at least. When he comes into the game, am I thinking 1, 2, 3, we're out, that's it? Or am I thinking, okay, buckle up? And right now, I'm just in the buckle up stage of the
song. I do think it's fair. But to push back, just playing devil's advocate here, how much of this is just he's not Emmanuel Class A?
Well, and there's always going to be some bump back with that, right? Like, if the expectation to follow up Class A is that you have to be one of the best closers in the game, and Class A legitimately is one of the best closers in the game, you're right in that it's gonna there's going to be a fall off there. But if you're hovering around a 3.5 ERA, that's not best closer in the game. That's not. I mean, that's you're one of the worst closers in the game.
I think if we talk about my, I hate panic because it's baseball and baseball. Bad baseball is good baseball to me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, the lineup still scares the crap out of me because nobody's really taken a step forward this year.
Have you seen the numbers over the previous month for this lineup?
It's actually decent, right?
No, it's atrocious.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it could not be worse.
What am I thinking?
Anyways, I'm not sure. Yeah, across the board.
I knew it was awful.
It's like they're like 25th and below in every category over the previous month.
But like my bigger issue is nobody's taking a step forward. Okay, I guess maybe Mansardo. But even he's been hot and cold. But like, there's nobody that's really taking a step forward. But I'll be honest, I put the rotation in general is a bigger concern now even than just Cade. Because, or even the bullpen. Like, I expect, listen, if last year was the absolute zenith a bullpen can get to, and this year is the bottom level for this team, given everything they've had, I think they're going to wash out somewhere in the middle next year. I don't know I feel that way about the rotation anymore.
So what should actually be the story from last night's game if it wasn't for Cade Smith?
Leaving Slade Ciconian far too long?
Exactly. But this also being how many games now in the previous 5-6 that we've seen Slade offer up at least a 5 spot on the board?
Yep.
And yes, you're right. They leave him in a little bit too long. No question about that. But Slade was a true bright spot in this season. Like
I don't know what the hell Gavin Williams is going to do.
Yeah,
he's going to either throw an almost no-hitter or he's going to get hit for a 5-6 or 7 spot. And those are the two guys that I'm most confident in. Tanner, probably a 5 spot. Logan Allen, 4 or 5 spot. Like it's wild how, and this to me is where, all right, what's going on with the program? I don't know that the lineup has enough ML. That's been beaten out of me.
Mm-hmm.
The lineup's been so bad. Most of these guys should not be in everyday spots. I relent. Uncle, I give up. They're not talented enough. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that about the rotation. And I understand that we got spoiled with a pitching factory. I do. But if we talk about the physicality of the guys you have, Gavin Williams is as high of a potential guy as you've had since Kluber or Bauer.
The Justin Herbert of baseball starters.
Ciccone, I think, probably profiles more as a mid-rotation starter. But Tanner Bibee is one of the more high-ceiling guys you've had. Tristan McKenzie fell apart. He was one of your high-ceiling guys. What we're not used to is once guys hit a kind of threshold with this rotation, we're used to them continuing to be Corey Kluber until the wheels fell off, or we're used to it them being Trevor Bauer until... he gets banned from baseball for being a bad human being, allegedly. We're used to him being Mike Clevenger till his arm falls off. Like, we're not used to guys being healthy and then just regressing to where they are. That's when you're talking about that offensively with the rotation and within the bullpen. At some point, there's a guy in charge of the clubhouse who you got to go, hey, If you're not coaching this out of them, how much of this is on you?
I don't know that that's on vote. I look at a lot of what's going on, especially with the lineup top to bottom, and I really think when you see managers making dumb bullpen decisions, it's one of the biggest highlights and red flags you can have that they just don't have the roster behind it. Like they just don't have the pieces because they know what strings to pull. They know what they're supposed to be doing in any given setting when it comes to that stuff. When they keep doing some of the really what seems like dumb bullpen mismanagement, that just tells you they don't have the horses.
Yeah, but I think when players regress, that's...
Well, I can't explain. Like I said, like Gavin Williams to me, I made the Herbert comp for a reason. It's just he's got all the tools in the world, and everyone's just expecting a little bit more. Now, obviously, that's being very, very kind to Gavin Williams at this point.
Bibee, too.
But
Bibee was your ace 4 months ago, he looks like a fourth starter now.
I don't know. I always wondered if they just got the most out of Bibee as is. Bibee, when he entered the Guardian system and everything, was throwing 89 miles per hour. They juiced that up to about 94 or so, which is an incredibly high velocity uptick for them to be able to get out of him. And so I always wondered what the ceiling would be there with Bibee. But with Gavin, it should have been the sky is the limit. And it has not gone that way.
I think when the pitching factory is starting to see guys regress in real time, on top of hitters playing really hot and cold, then that's a sign of one of two things. It is a sign that you're being over-leveraged as a player, but it's not like they're playing these guys every day of the week.
No, but the Slade one, the Slade one's interesting, though, because Slade had, they told him what pitches to basically throw, and they got his arsenal all set up, and you saw he was adding a couple different pitches into the mix as well. He's doing that sweeper, doing that cutter, and then it just kind of, in the past five, six games, it just kind of went away.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the Leafs caught up to him, and he hasn't responded
But it's so interesting. It's almost like the Guardians gave him the initial cheat sheet and said, here you go, and then he had success with it, and then now they've just been scrambling to update the cheat sheet, and they haven't been able to do so properly.
Somebody give Cade Smith the cheat sheet so we can get back to him being a great reliever. 216-474-0092. Are you writing off Cade Smith as a potential elite closer? I mean, it's four bad games in mostly a month. I think we're being a little gun-shy on Cade, even if last night really stunk. If the three games he had prior to these last four games really stunk as well. Playoffs, schmayoffs in 5 minutes with Jake on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.